This is President Biden's first day. On former President Trump's last day, yesterday, there was a flurry of pardons, making it more than 140 this week. And according to Washington Post analysis, almost a third of them had a link to Trump or people in his orbit. David Farenthold is one of a team of Post reporters. And David, you found a former Trump fundraiser who was convicted of then later lobbying the Trump administration on behalf of China. There were rappers. We'll take that up elsewhere in the program. And there was former White House guru Steve Bannon charged with taking money from hundreds of thousands of donors through a sham charity, lying, saying it was going to build the wall. It was not. You report that yesterday Trump kept asking people if he should pardon Bannon. What happened?
Yeah, he had been weighing this. And the important thing to know is just how divorced the process of deciding on Bannon's pardon was from the normal decision making you make about a pardon, which is, does this person deserve mercy? Is this person remorseful? Have they repented from their crime? Bannon hasn't even gone to trial for his charge yet. And there was none of that sort of mercy, you know, remorse calculation. But basically, this was Trump deciding whether Bannon had been nice enough to him to deserve a pardon. Bannon had said some bad things about him a couple years ago. He'd been more on his side recently as he sought to overturn the election. Basically, did Bannon deserve it not as a good person or a bad person, but as a friend of Trump?
Well, and by the way, there's also an office that's supposed to, you know, help people with the pardons. It filters through there. That didn't seem to happen here. And so Steve Bannon became one of at least six people that Trump pardoned who had either yet to face trial or hadn't started their sentences. And it seemed to be on this whim of noblesse oblige, you know, should I do him this favor? He also commuted the sentence of an eye doctor in West Palm Beach, Florida, accused of stealing $73 million from Medicare. There was a pardon for an ally of Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who'd been convicted of wire fraud. He'd already pardoned Kushner's father. You do make the case that a lot of this was return favors.
That's right. There was also a guy who owns an entire floor of Trump Tower, who was a tenant of Trump Tower, and somebody who was a longtime member of Trump's golf club in Westchester County, New York, and a donor to Trump's foundation. So a lot of these folks are people who had either direct or indirect connections to Trump, and the logic for granting them a pardon seemed to be no greater than, well, they've been good to Trump, and Trump can do this for them.
Well, last-minute pardons are not unusual, though. Clinton, then-President Bill Clinton, made 140, including Mark Rich, who was a convicted tax evader who'd made large donations to Democratic causes. That seems tame compared to some of these crimes that you've just outlined. But at that time, Republicans launched an investigation into Clinton's pardons.
That's right. That was an enormous deal. It defined Bill Clinton's legacy for years afterward. So the question here is not whether Trump did something unprecedented. I think he did sort of what Clinton did and more. History judged Clinton quite harshly for that. And the question now is whether this will affect Trump's legacy and what people will see Trump in a different light, that he used the last measure of his power basically to do favors for his friends.
Well, these were, swamp creatures, many of them. And President Trump had said he was going to clear the swamp. It's one thing, you know, Democrats seem to want to hit the ground running on things like COVID-19 and not more investigations. But there is Trump's second impeachment trial. And there's also talk of a 2024 run. Are you saying that these pardons might impact those two events?
It couldn't impact either event. One thing we should say is that pardon power is pretty absolute in the Constitution. Presidents can grant pardons to whoever they want for whatever reasons they want. So I don't think there's anything that we've heard about that says these pardons are illegal. Certainly, they could come up in an impeachment trial as evidence of, you know, bad behavior by Trump. It could be brought up again in a 2024 election if Trump runs again. I think Trump left under such a cloud with so many crises happening at once and the attack on the Capitol on January 6th sort of overshadowing all of it. This probably will not dominate the discussion about his legacy the way Clinton's pardons did his. But Clinton's legacy also, in the end, was much stronger. He was seen in hindsight as a much better president than Trump is seen now.
Well, people are already speaking out, at least about one notable pardon, and that was of Kwame Kilpatrick, former mayor of Detroit, charged for a number of things, and pretty much stealing money from Detroiters through racketeering, extortion. He's only served 7 years of his 28-year sentence. People in Detroit are outraged. Why did Trump pardon him?
That is such a mystery, because Kilpatrick is a Democrat, obviously. He had done all these horrible things. He has no connection to Trump that we know of. But it seemed that Kilpatrick in recent years had become a big fan of Trump, written him letters saying how great he was. And it may be that was all. But one of our reporters talked to the U.S. attorney who had prosecuted Kilpatrick and who was outraged that this man had been let out of prison early after such a long investigation and such wide evidence of wrongdoing.
David Farenthold, part of a team of reporters for The Washington Post, who took a look at now former President Trump's pardons. David, thank you.
Thank you.